Hi, Patrick here. It's a Portuguese pod today. About time, too. Brazil has been in the news a lot these past few weeks, what with the street protests and then the Pope putting on quite a show there. That kind of jogged me. As with English or Spanish or French or Chinese, there's lots of regional variation in the Portuguese language. Actually, you can hear some of that variation right on my doorstep. I live in a section of Cambridge, Massachusetts, where a lot of Portuguese speakers live and work. In fact, in my doctor's office, you hear as much Portuguese spoken as you do English. At a public school just down the street, there's a dual language immersion program, half English, half Portuguese. But the people in my neighborhood, they don't speak the same Portuguese. We have two Portugueses going on. One is from the Azores, those islands stuck in the middle of the Atlantic. They're part of Portugal, but they very much have their own distinct culture and dialect. And the other is Brazilian Portuguese. And I guess actually within Brazil, there must be a whole load of variation about which I'm totally ignorant. The interesting thing about my neighborhood is you've got the Brazilians, you've got the Azorians, but there aren't any mainland Portuguese speakers, or very few anyway. Same goes for Angolans or Mozambicans. There aren't any of them. If you include them and other Portuguese variations around the world, you get the idea. The language is hugely diverse, and it's something that we don't really know that much about. It's not like French, where, you know, I think there's a confidence that we English speakers have in knowing something about French language and culture. Even if we don't speak it, we immerse ourselves in it in one way or the other. We have that degree of confidence that comes with familiarity, and we understand that the French language is spoken differently in France than it is in Quebec, than it is in certain parts of West Africa and then North Africa. I don't think that really exists with Portuguese, even though Portuguese has nearly three times as many native speakers as French does. Anyway, a little bit later in the pod, we'll hear about some American musicians, native English speakers, who are exploring the Portuguese language and culture. And they're trying to keep all those geographical variations straight in their heads. Before that, Angélique Kidjo. She's from Benin in West Africa. She speaks a bunch of languages pretty well, and she's learning Portuguese. Here's the Big Show's Marco Werman, who, of course, is a friend.
Singer Angélique Kidjo is a fan of other musicians. Recently, she came by our studios to give us a taste of her current listening diet and to share with us what's on her iPod. But first, a taste of Angélique Kidjo's music that's on my iPod. Tonga from Logozo by Angélique Kidjo, an album that, for me, I've got to say, holds up with the test of time. Angélique Kidjo joins us in the studio. Thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure to be here with you. You know it's always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much. As usual, you're busy with a number of projects simultaneously. You're a multitasker par excellence. And with all the things you do, you're on the road a lot.
Absolutely.
So what I want to know is what you listen to on your iPod when you're out there. I'm sure there's a lot of unexpected stuff on this little pink iPod of yours. Where do we start?
You can start with classical music that I listen to. I mean,
I'm going to fast forward a little bit now. Not because Angélique Kidjo doesn't have good taste. She does. But, well, listen to this.
All right. Here's something that I did not expect to find, but I guess it makes sense. These are Portuguese lessons that you're following, specifically Brazilian Portuguese.
Absolutely.
This is Unit 5 of Pimsleur's Portuguese 1.
Escute esta conversa.
Listen to this conversation.
Escute esta conversa. Com licença, senhora.
Com licença, senhor.
Onde fica o Hotel Flamengo?
O Hotel Flamengo fica aqui, senhor.
E o restaurante Ipiranga? Onde fica?
O restaurante fica lá.
Portuguese lessons which appear on Angélique Kidjo's iPod. I hope everybody can now speak Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese. Are you good at languages? I mean, does it get tougher as you get older?
It's memorizing. It's the thing that you have. I have good memory for music. For me, language has melody to it. So I just learn them as I will learn songs.
That's very clever.
You got to listen to the melody of the words.
And boy, Portuguese words certainly do carry some famously sad melodies, of course. Speaking as a total outsider who doesn't understand what he's hearing, it sounds to me as though sometimes the words, the sentences, I don't know, they just fade away into disappointment. I don't know, that may be some kind of pathetic fallacy observation, but that's the way it sounds. And I am talking strictly about the sounds, just to emphasize that, not the substance of what's being said, of which I have no clue. But the sound is gloomy, the opposite of sunny American English, which maybe is why three American musicians became so drawn to the Portuguese language and to Portugal's homegrown genre of music. That is, of course, fado, which perfectly fits the sound of the language. Now, these Americans, they're from Kansas City, and their band is called Fado Novado. Here's Suzanne Hogan of public radio station KCUR.
Fado translates as fate. The music is tender, melancholic, ballads about lost love, the sea, being double-crossed, being younger.
It's sort of bittersweet. It's kind of this simultaneous yearning for things that are already past and things that are yet to come.
That's fadista Shay Estes, singer for Fado Novado.
For me, musically, it sounds like that even if you don't know what the lyrics are about, you immediately connect with the meaning without speaking Portuguese at all.
Estes is joined by Jordan Shipley, who plays the Spanish guitar. Shipley found his way to Fado music through his love of Brazilian culture and music. He first got into Fado when he was asked to perform at a Portuguese-American wedding. Fado is generally an oral tradition, so there wasn't much written music to go from. So the couple gave Shipley some old albums.
There weren't any books I could go from. I just had to use specific recordings that they sent me. All the work that I did for that, I was like, well, we definitely have to put this to use.
So Shipley and Estes, who helped with the research, decided, what the heck, let's start a band. Musician Bo Bledsoe was a part of the process, too, and the wedding, and became the third member of Fado Novado. They had used a mandolin at the wedding, but soon realized that to get the fado sound right, they needed one of the most important instruments, the Portuguese guitar. Bledsoe, who's an eclectic professional musician, had to learn his new instrument.
The geography is just so different, I mean, because of the tuning. So yeah, it was confusing and scary and intimidating.
It's just so culturally specific. So to capture that authentically is really kind of a daunting task when you think about you're really capturing the sort of essence of a people.
And singer Estes got busy working on understanding the Portuguese language and accents.
It was very tricky. You have the word E-S-T-E, which in Spanish would be este. The São Paulo Portuguese would be este. The Rio pronunciation would be este. And the Portugal pronunciation would be este. So you have the same word that means the exact same thing, and you have four different ways to pronounce it.
And then there's the act of singing Portuguese in fado style.
Portuguese is very nasal. It's very pushed into the front of the face. And a lot of this music in fado, particularly, you don't move up into the falsetto voice, into that very sing-song. You don't go up there. You keep it in this belty middle range. So I've got all this power and all this tone shaking the front of my face. And it started to give me really incredible headaches when I started.
Now, Novado means beginner, which the group humbly admits is a way of presenting itself to the world of Fado in a respectful way. They're hoping to travel to Portugal in June for a month-long Fado festival. They also plan to put out a recording, which would be the first from an American Fado ensemble that's not Portuguese. Bledsoe also created a blog where the group has been documenting their process. The site has helped them to network with fadistas around the world and has created an English language resource for Fado music, which used to be hard to find.
Because there's just nothing out there, so we're hoping that other people that are interested in Fado internationally will have kind of a place to go and read through our experience and get music and ideas and mm-hmm. hopefully help them out.
Even in all of its awkwardness at various times.
For The World, I'm Suzanne Hogan in Kansas City.
That's it for today, or nearly it. I have to remind myself that Portuguese will be very much coming out as a language and a culture these next few years. Not in Portugal, but in Brazil. The World Cup will be held there next year, and the Summer Olympics 2 years after that. And on the subject of the World Cup, I came across a funny little thing. Bittersweet, a different kind of bittersweet from Fado. And it was my soccer-playing pal Eduardo who posted it. Yes, I play soccer with a Brazilian. How humiliating do you imagine that is? Let me give you a moment to just imagine that. Well, anyway, Eduardo, by profession, is a translator, and he couldn't resist translating a parody of the Brazil 2014 World Cup logo. And this parody, by the way, was created a few weeks before the recent street protests. It was a good indicator about how people were feeling, as it turned out. I'm not going to do this justice here at all. The story is way too visual. So I'll post the image at theworld.org/language. And suffice to say here in the pod that this parody asked the question in Portuguese. Big, big apologies in advance, because I know I'm going to say this wrong. But anyway, here goes. Como foi criado o logo da Copa? How was the World Cup logo created? Then it takes you through various stages, starting with a smiley face that gradually turns into disappointment, then surprise, then hands covering the face in outrage. And that final image, in a sort of a visual pun, it looks almost exactly the same as the official World Cup logo. The words that go with it are, well, they're infused with the cynicism that a home nation often has when, you know, it's putting on a big sporting occasion. Here are those words in translation that go with those images. Tourist arrives in Brazil. Delays at the airport and in traffic. High prices. Exploitation. Trickery. Prostitution. Drug trafficking. Robbery. Yeah, pretty good reflection of where Brazilians are at right now. Well, I hope the World Cup is good for some people next year. If not, there's always Fado from the old country back in Europe. See you on Facebook, Twitter. My handle's Patrick Cox. That's PATRICOX. And see you next time. I'm not quite sure when that'll be. It's summer here, which is always a challenging time because so many people are on vacation. I'm in the midst of a big planning project, which is kind of pulling me away from the pod a little bit. And there are vacations of my own coming up. But just like Arnie said, I'll be back.